Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now to talk about the Basic Gospel. Keep listening. You'll hear how it intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Again, it's 1-800-677-9377 for Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been talking about forgiveness of sins the last several days on the Basic Gospel broadcast. It is a critical issue. It's the first word in Basic Gospel. We've all sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. We know that we need forgiveness. But you really can't talk about forgiveness in a vacuum. It's only a part of the gospel story, only a part of the narrative that the Word of God lays out for us. The real story is life. Jesus Christ came so that we might have life. And when we understand that part of the story, forgiveness makes sense. Jesus had to forgive all sins so that we could experience life. If there was a sin left unforgiven, when we committed that sin, we would die again.
Yeah.
And that's not what salvation is. God saved us permanently. He raised us to walk in the newness of life, and that's a permanent transaction. That's why it's called eternal. There's a longevity to it. But there's also a quality to it. We are now in the state of eternal life. We've entered into that state, and it's a state that continually exists. We can never go out of that. And forgiveness is what enables it. So it's been exciting to hear some of the questions being asked on the broadcast. We see, you know, one of the things that we've learned in our 30 years of ministry, forgiveness is a hot topic.
Oh, yeah.
We've all sinned, so we know forgiveness is needed. It's a misunderstood topic. There's lots of opinions swirling around out there. The other thing that we've learned, people love to argue about forgiveness, and people are desperate to know that they have been forgiven. That's something that we long for in life. But the Word of God speaks very clearly. If you're in Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If you are a child of God, your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. And to the lost world, here's the great news that we can share with them, that God is not counting their sins against them. Because of the work of Christ, the obstacle has been removed. Reconciliation has happened as far as God to man. All man needs to do at that point is to receive Christ, to be made alive. Sin is no longer an issue. That is just great, great news. And boy, when we grab hold of that, we truly embrace this new life. We experience the abundance of life and the abundance of God's love in ways that we never dream possible.
Yes,
so it's an important issue. We want to continue to talk about it. If you have questions about forgiveness of sins, have your sins been forgiven? What do you have to do to get that forgiveness? Let's talk about it on today's program, 1-800-677-9377.
That number good across the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. And guys, a question from Maria, who listens on WFIF in Bridgeport, Connecticut. She says, I hear pastors preach that Jewish people have a second chance after they die because they are the chosen ones of God. I don't agree with that belief, she says. Can you please elaborate on this subject?
Well, I think the Word of God is clear. After a person dies, then comes the judgment. I think the writer of Hebrews, which was a book written to Jewish people, kind of laid that out very, very clearly. So I don't think there's a second chance. I think God will come back to the Jewish people in time and present himself as the Messiah, and they will respond. Until that time, there's a remnant that are being saved by grace. So this gospel message is reaching into the Jewish world today, just as it's reaching into the Gentile world. People, both Jew and Gentile, are responding. Those who do are born again. They are added to the body of Christ. They are saved forever. But in the history we're kind of in the age of the Gentiles. That's going to come to an end, and then this gospel message will circle back to the Jewish people as a whole.
Yeah.
And as the writer of, or as Paul said in Romans, at that point all Israel will be saved. Fascinating verse.
Well, it is, absolutely.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, thank you for joining us. My name is Bob Davis, and we would welcome your phone calls at 1-800-677-9377. In fact, that's why we're here every day, live, so that we can entertain your phone calls, take you into the Word of God, and have a discussion about those issues. And we have a question from Phil, who writes to us from Tempe, Arizona. Says, in the Bible it says, no one has seen God, but Jesus claimed he was equal to the Father, so the followers saw him, and people in the Old Testament, so help me understand if I'm missing something here. Kind of a loophole question.
Yeah, a loophole question. You know, it talked about Moses meeting face-to-face with God, but God is spirit. We can't see spirit, and I think that's what the Bible is talking about, but in Christ, God was given a face. And so we see the face of God in Jesus. But Jesus is human, and everything that we can really know about God has been given to us in Christ. So I think that's wonderful news that God loved us that much that he would become one of us and show us what God the Father is really like. And that was one of the purposes of Jesus coming, to show us what God the Father was like.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to remind you, friends, that we have a gift for you. For those of you who would like to make a gift to Basic Gospel this month and support the ministry, it's Bob Christopher's book called Love Is. What is love about? Well, God has perfect love for you. The book is available to you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. If you'd like to have a copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or phone 1-800-727-2828 and speak with Lily, our customer service representative, and she'll be glad to set you up and take your request and handle your request for the book and to make your contribution to the ministry. Again, that's basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828 for Bob's book called Love Is.
Kind of an interesting thing about love, the way Paul starts out that definition is this: love is patient. Yeah. And for us, you know, we're like, Lord, give me some patience, but give it to me now.
Just immediately.
And for us, patience is like a battery that needs to be constantly recharged. Mm-hmm. And we're always calling out for patience and trying to put up with certain situations. But, you know, life is tough, and we get angry and frustrated, and sometimes we lose our patience. But as far as God is concerned, his battery never needs to be recharged. Being patient is part of his nature. If God is love, then we know God is always patient with us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the most comforting truths about this definition, is that we're going to mess up. We're going to get angry. We're going to lose our cool. We're going to give in to temptation. We're going to give in to all sorts of things in this world. And yet every time we do, God always responds with patience. Yeah. He suffers long with us because he has something better in mind. Our choosing to turn left or turn right, our choosing to go out into the weeds, our choosing to commit sin and do stupid stuff doesn't change God's ultimate purpose for us. And so he continues to treat us with patience to move us back into the path that we need to be. So if you want to know what love is all about and how God specifically loves us, it's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. I mean, he's acted on our behalf, and he's acting on our behalf. This is a great little resource called Sure. Love Is. We want to put this in your hands for a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel.
BasicGospel.net or 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Wayne listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, Brother Bob. How y'all doing today?
Doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, it's good to call. I've been listening for quite a while this last few weeks on this whole forgiveness issue, and, you know, God's been showing me all kind of things, and I'm calling to be a voice of encouragement because, you know, it's so important. What I appreciate about what you said, this whole issue of forgiveness, it's about life, you know, forgiveness, it's real. It's a real important issue, and it's something that we have to drive home. But it has to be found in the person and the work of Christ Jesus and our relationship with him. And I just want to be a voice of encouragement to y'all and to your listeners. And I was thinking of two verses, actually, I'd like to share with you guys. It's in 1 John 5, verse 12. It says, he who has the Son has life. If we have the life, if we have Jesus, we have forgiveness. So forgiveness is predicated on the fact of what we're going to do with Jesus, you know. So I just wanted to share that with you guys because it's just such an encouragement to me, and especially before the show, I was thinking about all these different things, and lo and behold, you come on the radio and you just confirm everything that I've been talking about. I mean, I was thinking about it. You know, and it's just so cool because the whole issue of our relationship to God is Jesus' life. It's the resurrection. He's the one that caused us to be born again to a new and living hope through the resurrection. And apart from that resurrection, we could confess our sins all day long. We'd still be dead in our sins. So just as an encouragement, you know, we have to answer the question, what are we going to do with Jesus? And when we settle that issue, the forgiveness issue follows suit.
Yes, it does.
That'll very, preach, rather.
Yeah, that will preach, Wayne. That's good stuff. I tell you, we think, you know, in our lives that forgiveness is the end. That's what I want. That's what I need. That's what I desire. So what do I need to do to get forgiveness? But that is only a means to an end as far as God is concerned. That's the bridge that enables us to cross over to life. We can't have life apart from forgiveness. And as you said, if we have life in Jesus Christ, that means we also have forgiveness of sins. You can't have one without the other.
Yes, and that puts the resurrection at the forefront of all of this, and that's the basic gospel. You can't have one without the other, but you can't mistake one for the other. And we know where that phrase comes from. My old friend Bob George used to coin it. But it's just so true.
Yeah,
so
that's
right. So if we want to nail down this forgiveness issue, let's make a decision to receive Christ, and in so doing, all is well with your soul.
Yes, indeed. Well, Wayne, thanks for the encouragement today, and thanks for the good words, okay?
Well, thank you, my brother. And y'all just keep on keeping on. Y'all proclaim that good message, and we'll leave the results in the hands of our almighty God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks for your call, Wayne. You call anytime, my friend. We're going to go to Nashua, New Hampshire, and talk with Elizabeth listening to us on WDER. Hi, Elizabeth.
Wow, praise the Lord. It's your old friend, Elizabeth.
Well, it's nice to hear from you again.
Well, thank you, and so good of you guys to have a talk on this radio.
Well, we're certainly so thankful for Bill Blount, the owner of those stations up there, for making a spot available to us. We certainly appreciate the partnership, and we're just really glad to be in the New England area. So thank you for your call. Thank you for having us to be a part of your life through this radio program. How can we help you today?
Well, it says that Jesus said, anyone who's angry at their brother without a cause is guilty of committing murder. Now, when people quote that verse, they always leave out the one part that says without a cause. And it's people, at least in my Christian circles, are always saying you cannot be angry at anyone, and because anger is just like murdering a person. But they always leave out the part that says without a cause. If you are angry at another person without a cause, there's no cause for you to be angry at that person. That's what Christians get. They get people who are angry at us, and they don't have no cause to be angry at us. They're murdering us. And even Jesus said, why do you want to kill me? And people take that verse, and they think that as a Christian, we're not allowed to be angry at anything. But yet Jesus got angry, and he upset the money changers, and he knocked them over, and he let loose all the animals in the temple and said, stop making my father's house a place of merchandise. And
yeah.
And he was angry at those people who were doing wrong, and he said, you know, he's expressed his anger by stopping them from doing that. And I think it gives an excuse for every Christian man or even women to stand by and let evil progress because they think that we're not supposed to get angry.
Well, it simply says, in your anger, sin not. We're certainly going to get angry, and to think otherwise, we've missed kind of a truth about us as human beings. But we don't have to give in to that. We don't have to let anger control us, and that's the whole point. When we allow anger to control us, it leads us to these sinful acts. Murder would be one of those, but there's all sorts of things that anger can lead us to do if we submit to its control. Jesus never submitted to the control of anger, and we don't have to now that he's alive living in us, and that's the good news. The other aspect of that particular passage in Matthew chapter 5 where it talks about being angry, and that's like murder, he is showing where sin really comes from. It's from within. It's from these evil hearts of ours that needed to be cured. And that's what happens when we come to Christ. We're circumcised. The flesh is circumcised, not by hands, but by Jesus Christ himself, so that we can truly love the Lord our God and to walk by faith in him. So that is great news. So Jesus is saying, here's the source of sin. Here's where it originates. That's why he wants to come and live inside of us and do something at that point of origin to change us right there so that something different can flow out of us. So good words today, Elizabeth. Yeah. Great comment. We appreciate it.
Exactly. And if the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we have enough self-control to not let our anger consume us and not go to bed in our anger, because it says be angry, but do not let the sun go down in your anger. So be angry about someone who's abusing their poor innocent child. Yes, and maybe protest against it or make sure the person gets in prison. But we're not supposed to go dwelling and go kill somebody or ourselves or take the law in our hands. But that doesn't mean as Christians we're not supposed to be angry at anything. Us, we are supposed to be angry at injustice and wrongdoing and standing up for people and
well, when you see what sin does in this world, it makes you angry. I mean, you hate the effects of sin in this world. And that's why we can have a voice to say, hey, there's a way of escape, and that way of escape is through faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, and we're supposed to even be angry ourselves when we fail. Sometimes we let God down and we sin, and it might even be a sin that we did over and over. And if we're not going to get angry enough at ourselves, we're just going to keep doing that sin, and then we're going to say, no, I am getting angry at myself, and I'm just going to stop because this is grieving the Holy Spirit, and I'm letting you down, God. And then we can overcome our sinful habits that seem to be stuck in certain sins because we're angry at ourselves, you know? So it just seems as if people kind of misconstrue that verse and say, as a Christian, we're not supposed to be angry at all about anything. I mean, There is a point to being angry at sin and not letting it control us, yes, but do something about it, you know?
Good points, Elizabeth. We sure appreciate your call today.
Thank you. God bless you.
Well, you call anytime. Let's go to Corpus Christi and talk to Adolph, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Adolph.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. My question is on the subject, and I know there are many opinions out there, I mean, several, but I just wanted to take it to get your understanding on the biblical subject. Where did Jesus' soul went when he died?
Good question, Adolph. So, you know, as far as his body, Richard, his body was placed into a grave. What happened to the spirit of Jesus?
Jesus gave it back to his Father. So that's where it went.
Right. Okay. Is there any, you know, I've heard some things, and I think there's some passages in Scripture that might bear this out to some degree, that Jesus actually went to the saints of old, to their holding place, to the upper regions of Hades, to announce that the work had been finished and he ushered them into his presence. Is there any merit to that or validity to that?
Not if you look at it the way it's normally presented, to the extent that Jesus, if the Old Testament saints couldn't be saved the same way we were because the Spirit hadn't been given. So they were, when they died, they were waiting for Jesus to come. And so you can accept, I'm looking at Malachi, that's why I'm tripping here, but Jesus was going to go and get those people who had died, who were the righteous, saved people from the Old Testament times. They were waiting for him, and he came and got them. So I think there is a good argument for that.
But he didn't go down to hell, as some would say, to defeat
hell.
Satan.
No.
He did not do that. If there was any place that he went, it would have been to those upper regions where the saints of old were being held, and he would have announced that the work has been finished, and then he would usher them into his presence, this new place where paradise was going to be, just as he said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise."
Yes, I found it. It's at the end of Malachi 3. It's called the Book of Remembrance, starting in verse 16. "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son." So, here's this great promise at the end of the Old Testament that the people who were God's were going to be saved.
Yes,
and
indeed.
It's a wonderful promise. We don't know how it worked, when it worked, all of that, but certainly Jesus didn't go to hell.
No.
And that would have to be one of the things that frustrated Satan to no end, because Satan kind of sort of thought he won.
Yeah.
But Jesus said no. God looked at Satan and said, "Go away." Jesus is victorious.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much for your answer, and keep up the good work. I mean, it's great.
Well, thank you, Adolph. We certainly appreciate your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is. So hang on, okay, my friend?
Very short, very quick little question. It's a question I don't think we've ever gotten on the broadcast, and I can hear the pause before you answer, even before I pose the question. This is from Rob. He says, "Who was the God of the Old Testament?" Pause.
God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. God the Father, who has been revealed to us in the person of Christ Jesus. As you look in the Old Testament, you see a lot of the attributes of God fully laid out for us, that God is loving kindness, endures forever. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a faithful God. He keeps his promises. He loves his people. We see all of that about God. There's just some things in the Old Testament that confuse us.
Yeah.
And a lot of that confusion, I think, is going to be clarified when we see God in the face of Jesus Christ, when we realize that he has truly made him known.
Yeah.
And so, same God.
Thanks, guys, for a great edition of Basic Gospel. We prepare to close today's broadcast with a reminder that Basic Gospel is dependent upon you, our listeners, for sufficient support to remain on the air Monday through Friday with the truth of God's Word. And to say thanks for your generous gift this month, we'll send you a copy of Bob Christopher's book, Love Is. In Love Is, you'll learn that God wants you to know that he loves you, that you can rely on his love. And when you abide in his love, you will see that God's love never fails. It's all there in Love Is, yours today for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To complete your gift and request your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours and speak with our customer service operator, Billy. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 for Love Is by Bob Christopher. A reminder, too, that if you use social media, obviously you're not alone. We use it, too, and we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at BasicGospelRDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.